In God's good providence, we were able to recover part of this sermon. We hope it will be a blessing to you.
Thank God for clip-ons, huh? I miss those days. No, and it's great, and that's really a nice video clip to lead into this morning, because, you know, we as men and fathers, it's hard to keep track of a lot of things, and so I'm just really glad that God gives us some really simple instructions, and we're going to look at those this morning. For those of you who don't have Bibles, this is a great time to go and get one, and for those of you who didn't get an outline, there should have been ones that were handed out along the way. If you need one, my son Jacob, can you come up here for a second? Jacob, come on up. And just raise your hand and Jacob will make sure that you get one, all right? Now, those of you who were here last week, I shared in the sermon last week that one of the things that's great to do is to imitate, and to really imitate God and His Word and what He would think. And we used our earthly fathers as an example of that. And so this week, just to get us started and as a reminder, I thought I would just say a few things and you guys could fill it in. I'll start with a couple that we talked about last week, the proverbial, when I was your age, da-da-da-da-da, were you raised in a barn? We talked about that. Now, starting this week, I'm going to start a phrase and you fill it in. If a job's worth doing, children should be seen and... Okay, this will hurt me more than... Exactly. Don't ask me, ask your mother. I'll tell you why, because I said so, that's why. You want something to do, I'll give you something to do. What's so funny, wipe that off your face. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about, okay? See, we can imitate our fathers, okay? And we can imitate our Heavenly Father, okay? There's hope. We do want to love our, we do love our dads, and we do want to honor them today here in Father's Day. We're just really grateful for them, and I'm personally grateful for my own father and the way that he raised me. In our current series in 1 Peter, we've been looking over really key relationships. How does God want us to relate to different people? Chick talked about our employer and our government. Phyllis talked about a wife to a husband. We've looked at how we relate to one another as brother and sister in Christ. And specifically, going back to Phyllis, she had shared in 1 Peter, which is where we're going to look this morning, chapter 3, verse 7, but she shared with us verses 1 through 6. And that really talked about kind of the privilege and responsibility that we have, and also just kind of how we should care for one another, not manage relationships, not manipulate them. Those are some things that she emphasized. And I'm going to piggyback off of that, because verse 7 starts right where she left off. So if you'd like to turn to there, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're just going to look at one verse all morning. Okay, it's verse 7. I'd like to read that. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So, do we have any video gamers among us? Anybody video gamers? Yes, we have some video gamers, okay. If so, you guys can understand, really, this verse is kind of God's set of tricks and tips, walkthroughs and cheats on how to understand and deal with women, okay? Because we'd all like, just like in the tie, okay, we'd love to be able to just be able to do it first time through, quickest and easiest way. How about those of us, anybody like movies, films? Does anybody remember Mel Gibson in a movie, What Women Want? Okay, he was a chauvinistic entrepreneur and he ended up getting in a bathtub and electrocuted and somehow then began to understand what women want. Okay, well, just like in the video and in that movie, God's ideas for how we can understand and relate to our wives and understand and care for women are not that complicated. They're really very plain, and we're going to look at those this morning. So let's start looking at the verse and unpacking it together. The verse starts with the word husbands, and obviously Peter's now going to turn the attention back on the men. Now notice there was like six verses for the women, okay, because it's really things, but then when we get to the men, he wants to make it simple and clear. Just want to share with you one thing, okay? Kind of makes it easier for us. And he says, in the same way, which really means to do likewise, or to repeat in an identical manner, just like we started in the introduction, of being able to imitate. And it all goes back, and this week I have a lot of cross-references on your outline because some people shared with me last week, it was kind of a blur trying to keep up with some of the verses. So they're all noted down. The first verse here is from 1 Peter 2:21. And that's really when he talks about doing likewise, this is what he means. Christ suffered for you, leaving you what? An example that you should follow in his steps. And he continues explaining, Jeremy, can you move forward to verse 23? That Christ entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So the example we as husbands are following isn't just the one that he asked the wives to do, but it's really Christ who's the example. So he's going to unpack a little more what that means. Because at this time, this was radical teaching. Back in the day when this was written, wives were really possessions or objects. They had no rights. And so this was just kind of, people couldn't fathom what they're saying. If a wife, for example, was caught in adultery, she could be killed on the spot. But if a wife caught her husband in adultery, there was nothing she could do to him. All the duties and obligations in a marriage were put on the wife. So the radical teaching here that husbands have something to do to be able to care and to be considerate for their wives was just phenomenal for people to be able to try to understand. Now, in our day and age, we've come a long way. Thanks to God's word and the effect that it's had on our culture over the years, we've really seen a lot of improvement in that area. So let's look at the first phrase. It says to be considerate. Some translations have this as be knowledgeable or with knowledge. It's just kind of a sense of being keenly aware of something. I don't know if you ever, people who are kind of keenly aware of their surroundings or something that's going on, and then there's other of us who are a little clueless. But really the idea of this comes from the idea of science, the idea of knowledge. So I know we have some scientists in the room here, and that comes from the idea of ologies. Remember all the ologies, like biology, study of life, zoology, study of animals, geology, study of earth. Does anybody know what ichthyology is? Fish. How about cetology? Whales. How about hippoology? I thought it was hippos. It's horses. Now, how about otology? Ears. How about women? The study of women. Psychology. Sociology. There's all kinds of ology, but there really isn't one, okay? I studied long and hard on this one, and so that's why God makes it clear in his word, okay? He wants us to understand, okay? So people are still trying to understand it today, and thank God for the Bible, okay? So when Peter talks about being considerate as you live with your wives, this living with our wives means being together with them in every sense of the word, a sharing of everything we have with one another. You understand what it means and what it does. And there's a sense of being kind of woven together. Those of you who are familiar with textiles, how things are woven together into a fabric, and then it's not easily torn. Ecclesiastes talks about that, the cord of three strands. And specifically, the verse that was referenced this morning early, I want to repeat it again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. It says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So a godly husband undertakes the important job of understanding his wife. By knowing her well, we're able to demonstrate our love for her far more effectively than we do today. Now, what does this mean to understand a woman? How does a man understand a woman? Okay, pretty hard question to answer sometimes. It's much more than knowing her favorite TV show, her favorite color, her favorite vacation spot, or even her favorite of ice cream. Now, I hope we know these things, because those are kind of the basics that you start out with in a dating relationship. Those of you in teens, those are the things you hope people know about you, right? What you like to hear. But do we know what makes her happy or makes her sad? Do we know what she likes that we do and that what others do, or what things that she doesn't like that we do and that other people do to her? Do we know what are the pressures and stresses that she faces? What are her greatest fears? What are her hopes and dreams? What is she still waiting for? Those are harder questions, and they take time. They take time. Now, in this day and age of technology, ironically, you can kind of be familiar with how well somebody knows you. There's a wonderful website called Tickle.com, and on Tickle.com, you can go and make up a quiz. and about yourself, and people can log in and figure out, answer the questions and get a score and see if and how well they know you. So, you know, it's interesting. In this day and age, we'd love to fill out quizzes. We love to share our opinions. We love to have our ideas known. Peter encourages us to get to know our wives and get to know the women in our lives so we can understand them, live with them, know them deeply. And probably an interesting, I know this might sound kind of corny, but those of you who remember Elvis Presley from the 1950s kind of encapsulated this a little bit in one of his famous songs called Love Me Tender. It goes like this: love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go. You have made my life complete, and I love you so. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with Elvis Presley, you can go to YouTube and check him out and just type in love me tender, and it's out there, okay? And you can just see how it goes. But really, this is the whole idea of just the understanding your wife and loving her in a way that Christ loved the church. Christ loves us tenderly. It's his compassion that draws us to him. Now, Peter continues on. He says, treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Now, when we think of respect, staying with kind of the theme we talked about earlier, it's kind of hard not to think of Aretha Franklin, right? R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? What did she sing about? What does she want? Respect. And how much of it did she want? Just a little bit, right? You can go to YouTube and check that one out too as well. But the respect God is talking about here is much more than just a little bit and is understood as the following. And these are the ways that different people interpret and translate this respect. It's assigning honor. It's protecting, supporting, delighting, putting warranted trust or confidence in someone, speaking well of them, both to their face and behind their back. That's assigning honor, protecting, supporting, delighting, putting warranted trust and confidence in, and speaking well. That's what respect's about. If you had to describe it, that's what's all bundled up in that idea of respect. Now, there's a reference here to the weaker partner, and this can oftentimes be misunderstood or abused. The weaker partner usually refers to the physical makeup or differences between men and women. We see this in sports, okay? There's very few sports in the entire world where men and women compete against each other, okay? So there's different designs that God has in terms of the constitution of the man and woman in terms of their bodies. So, you know, what happens is that it does not refer to a woman's intellect, her morality, or her spirituality. They're equal with us. And we're encouraged to show judgment, moderation, and gentleness to handle women with care due to this physical and a little bit of emotional weakness that's bundled in there. And there's a Jewish proverb I like that kind of gives you an idea of what this means. It says, if your wife is short, bow down and whisper in her ear. If your wife is short, bow down and whisper in her ear. What's embedded in that is an idea of understanding who she is and making accommodations for that. Not with a sense of regret or frustration or anger, but out of a sense of tender love. Sometimes we can become angry or frustrated with the makeup of women. Their strength, their emotionality, the proverbial time of the month. Rather than dealing with them in an appropriate manner, the tendency is to intentionally either neglect or to stew over something or to deal with them harshly, as if we're intolerant of it. And really, why do we do that? We do that so we can get our agenda accomplished. We'll exploit them in order to get what we want done, or even if it's a petty personal preference. God forgive us. But we as men are natural warriors, and that's what we do. We find weakness, we seek it out, and we exploit it. That's how we've been, in a certain degree, wired. But the exploiting part is not God's design. The understanding of weakness, I believe, may be part of what God had intended, but for a different reason. It's for the reason that God gives us to be able to treat women with respect. So there's several verses here I'm going to read through that give you an idea of what this means. Colossians 3:19. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. In essence, we're to love our wives like Christ loves the church. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God chose what? The foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Follow the next part. God chose who? The weak things of the world to shame the strong. God has a role for the weak. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 12:22, those parts of the body, that means of Christ, that seem to be weaker are what? Indispensable.